got caught out. They'd been arguing about who was the greatest, and Jesus noticed. Like naughty children, isn't it? What were you arguing about? But they kept quiet because they'd been arguing about who was the greatest. If we just rewind a little bit and put this in a bit of context, the disciples have had a tricky sort of bit of time, really. Not long before this, Jesus had been with Peter and James and John at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they'd seen Jesus in his glory. But that was just three of the disciples. Meanwhile, the rest of them were round and about with people, and somebody comes to them with a son who was possessed by an evil spirit. And the disciples pray, and nothing happens. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus heals this child. So, of course, the disciples then have all sorts of questions. Well, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast out this evil spirit? They've spent time with Jesus. He's been teaching them. And yet, it's just all been a bit of a muddle. So I guess they must have felt a bit discouraged, a bit fed up. And they're walking along, and, you know, we do, don't we? Something's happened, and we just sort of rehash it and go through it. And I wonder if there was a bit of rivalry. And, well, if you hadn't said that, it would have been okay. And, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done it this way. Weren't you listening? You almost hear the conversations, can't you? And, of course, it comes into, well, who are the most important disciples? Who's going to be the greatest? Which of us is going to be able to heal somebody in the way that Jesus can? You know? Is it because that one's the favourite? Have they just learnt more quickly? You know? And so it goes on. And of course, we live in a world that measures greatness by what we achieve or by what we acquire. Money talks, doesn't it? It's a cliche. But generally, people with money have more power. Those who achieve positions at work or within society are perceived as having more power. I wonder, do we strive to succeed? Are we wanting to, you know, make it and elbow our way through? I wonder if you've ever sort of stopped to notice how many of these so-called reality shows there are on TV at the moment. We could probably name dozens between us. Strictly started last night. I haven't watched it yet, so don't tell me what happened. But, you know, there's MasterChef, there's Great British Menu. There's X Factor. Britain's Got Talent on at the moment, is it? But that comes round. Then there's the that daft foreigner, the bed and breakfast one. There's come dine with me. There are antiques ones. Loads of cooking. There's MasterChef. Dozens of the things, aren't there? And have you noticed that some of them really seem to bring out the worst in people? You know, some of them, they manage. I mean, you know, when Mary Berry did Bake Off, she could say really hard things nicely, couldn't she? But you remember that when she looked at this utter disaster of a custard tart and a comment, it's had issues. You know, you can sort of say stuff nicely, but then what about The Apprentice? That is a bit dog-eat-dog, isn't it? You know, they really do dig the knife in. And it becomes who can make the bitchiest and cattiest sorts of comments. And the way to the top is to stamp on people and to tread on them. And sadly, there's a reality there. But yet Jesus, as he so often does, turns this all on its head when he makes this statement: if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. And of course, that language of first and last is language of competition, isn't it? Nobody could be first if there wasn't somebody behind them. Now we can apply that, of course, to the, you know, to sport and athletics. Apply it to all sorts of fields of life. But when Jesus talks about being first, his meaning, his understanding, is quite different from what ours so often is. Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. The very beginning of his public ministry, he said he'd come to bind up the brokenhearted and to release the captives. He came to serve. I wonder what our understanding of being successful, of doing well, of achieving is. Whether we take on just that worldly view, or whether we think of it in terms of being a servant. In that reading from James, we hear about being wise and about an understanding which comes. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good deeds, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And Jesus illustrates his point by taking a small child and saying, whoever welcomes one of these little children welcomes me. And the point I think Jesus is making, your children were not generally considered very important. They didn't contribute very much to the economy. They weren't involved in any decision making. They were just sort of biding their time until they became adults and entered the adult world. Children were not of a great deal of account. Our view of children today is thankfully a bit different from that. But we could replace that with anybody who society might consider weaker or more vulnerable. The poor. About the hope that, you know, folk who struggle with addiction, with homelessness, that we welcome them. Society would say you don't get on in life by spending time amongst those who are poor, who are weak, who are small, who are less important. But Jesus turns that absolutely on its head. Jesus spent so much of his time amongst the poor and amongst the weak. So what about us? Do we argue about who's the greatest, who's the most important? Well, I guess most of us, we sort of shy away from that blatant arrogance, don't we? You know, it's not very British, is it? And we certainly wouldn't want to be heard saying it. But what about in here, the bits, you know, nobody else really sees and knows about? Do we want to get on and be seen as important? Or do we seek to serve one another here? To serve folk that we see on a regular basis, to serve those we don't really know and just come across. As we thought earlier about, you know, some of those conversations and things that have been going on over the last few months, that is a way that we can serve one another, isn't it? A cup of tea or a cup of coffee doesn't seem, you know, it's not massive, is it? But those small acts of kindness are important. Because they say far more than just the cup of tea. They say, I value you. They say, I want to spend a bit of time with you. They say, you matter to me. And it's so important that we build up those relationships. We all need to be valued, to be cared for, to matter to somebody. And we can all offer that to somebody else. I guess we would all say we want to be a church that has those strong and good relationships. We want to be a bunch of people who value one another and who value those who aren't yet part of us yet. We need to act on it, don't we? Because just thinking and believing it doesn't actually make it happen. We need to do something. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, says Jesus, does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. In welcoming Jesus, we welcome God himself. Let's pray. Just in the quiet, let's invite you to give thanks to God for the people sitting to your left, right behind and in front of you. Lord, we thank you for each other. For these people, these brothers and sisters that you have given us. Lord, may we forge good and deep relationships. May we serve one another as you serve us. In Jesus' name, amen. So